Well, welcome back to our second session on My Strong Spirit. And I really hope that you've taken some time and begin, as you listen to the first one, begin to confess my strong spirit, that I have a strong spirit. I can develop a strong spirit. And let that become something we just declare. And then we become what the Word says that we are as we do that. Now, today we're going to be talking about my strong spirit will, and you'll notice there's a couple of dots after that, and I could just put a blank. And we're going to fill in that blank with, I think, four key items that we're going to build on today. So let me pray, and we'll just jump right in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your word, and even today we see the importance of your word in our life as we study this. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to each person exactly where we are in developing a strong spirit. Let us see you moving through this strong spirit. And we want to let you encourage us to continue to build and strengthen this strong spirit that you've placed in us, that we might be the overcomers that you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Now, last week I entitled the session, Why It Matters. And what did we see? Because it does matter. And we looked at a number of different areas for that. Now, in Proverbs 18:14, where we're anchored, so we're going to read this one every week. New American Standard says, the spirit of a man can endure. Other translations say, it will sustain. And so he can endure, or it will sustain him in sickness. And that word sickness literally means weakness. But a broken spirit, a weak spirit, who can bear? The Amplified Classic says this, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? In other words, that's not what we're supposed to have. Now, the word endure or sustain there in those verses literally means to seize, or it sounds like to me, we're going to take control of what's going on. And to me, that just rings, as we looked last week, of confidence. We saw in Proverbs 3:6 that the Lord shall be our confidence, firm and strong, and he shall keep our foot from being caught in a trap or something that's hidden. Hebrews 4:16, we know, says, let us come before, and let me just read the Amplified. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that throne of God's unmerited favor to us, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in time of need. And then it says, to appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. So we begin to see then how the degree of success we have in living our life does what? It really is directly related to the strength of our spirit, to us having a strong spirit. We see this in 3 John 2 that we talked about in depth last week. New Living says, I hope all is well with you and that you're healthy in body just as you're strong in spirit. And the truth is, our soul can only be as prosperous or as strong as our spirit man is. Ephesians 6 tells us, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. And in the power, be empowered through your union with him and draw your strength. Again, that union with our spirit, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. So where is this strength to be manifested? In our spirit. We need to devote more time to there than we do to keep our body strong, because that strong, I'm not saying we want to neglect our body by any means. But we need to keep our spirit man strong, because it will feed strength from this source of life that we have in our spirit. Now, I made a point last week, and this is going to be something we talk about again today, that we don't want to be having a strong spirit just to receive all that the Lord wants for us. Certainly we want that. But we also want to have a strong spirit to help others develop in their spirit and walk in what God wants them to do. Ephesians 3:16 says that we're to be strengthened with might through the Spirit, but not just any spirit, through his Spirit in our inner man. So that's where it begins. That's where life flows from, as Proverbs 4:3 told us last week. Give attention to his words. Don't let them depart from our sight. Keep them in the midst of our heart, for they are life to all who find them and health to all their flesh. And then it says, watch over your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, because we want it to be a strong heart, and we don't want things to get into our heart which will take away from that. So we're going to pick up today and just build on that which we went through last week, talking about my strong spirit will. And as I said earlier, we're going to fill in the blank with four statements. You could probably break these up into 5 or 7 or 10, but I've just grouped them together in this manner because I really think they fit together well. But I want to start with this verse. Joel 3:10 in the Amplified simply says, let the weak say, I am strong, and then it adds, a warrior. Now, each of these is important. We normally just say, let the weak say, I'm strong. But I think this warrior part is interesting because it was telling them to beat their plowshares into weapons and to begin to be a strong people who were about to go into a battle. Well, that's really what we're here for in the spirit realm, is to put down any rebellion that the devil makes, to dominate him. The war is over, but we are the enforcers of that here today. And so this phrase about be strong because I'm going to be a warrior, and we say that, notice, even when we don't feel like it, because we're going to develop and strengthen our spirit. But the focus of our development must be what we saw last week in our spirit man, so that we can overcome in the spiritual battles that we take. And that's what we're going to really be seeing today, the necessity of a strong spirit. So I want to ask the question, what will a strong spirit produce in our lives? And you're going to see that it impacts a number of areas. But I want to begin tying it back to Philippians 4:23, and I'm going to read this to you in the New Living now. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's what you're going to see, that life that flows from our spirit man, that God kind of life that he's placed in us in union with his spirit, flows in us as we strengthen it, as we develop it. And we develop it by using it, and that will allow us to overcome in so many areas of our lives as we're going to see today. So when troubles come, when shakings come, when temptations come, even sicknesses and diseases try to attach themselves to us, all of these things you're going to see today, how a strong spirit will protect your heart and allow you to walk in some of this. And that's really the first thing we want to do here, is talk about a strong spirit will protect your heart. Now go with me to Psalms 112, and we're going to be reading verses 6 through 8, but I want to read verse 1 to you first, because this really sets the table for what we're going to be talking about. Praise the Lord, it says. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. So what we're seeing and hearing here is that the word is going to play an important part in our lives. And I'll just go ahead and say, in having a strong heart, in developing a strong heart. And this verse really sets the tone, if you look down at verse 6 through 8 now, for these verses. It says, for this man who trusts, who greatly delights in his commandments, for this man, for he will never be shaken. The righteous, which he would have been made, will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. There's a foundation under it. He will not fear until he looks with satisfactions on his adversaries. In other words, till he overcomes. Now, go back and look at some of the phrases that I read. never be shaken, not fear evil tidings, heart being steadfast, trust, heart being upheld, no fear, and overcoming with that last phrase, until he looks with satisfaction. And I want you to remember that word, until, because sometimes it's going to take a little bit of time. And we don't want to, and I'll say now, say again, grow weary during this time. That until will come. You know, it's like the word then is building a force field. And I think I mentioned this last week, around our heart. A protective barrier. How about if we say that? And then when that happens, we can endure. Time can pass. The until can come to pass, and we receive that which he's wont to give us. In other words, we overcome. Listen to the New Living Translation. Such people, you and I, will not be overcome by evil. Now you can take, if you've got the notes, the New Living particularly, or you can use New American Standard or your own translation, and you can take this and convert it to yourself. So let me do that for me as I read this. I will not be overcome by evil. I am those who are righteous, and I will be remembered. I do not fear bad news. I confidently trust the Lord to care for me. I am confident and fearless, and I can face my foes triumphantly. There's your great confession, just the way we take the word and personalize it and speak it out of our mouth. What are we saying here? My heart can become established, a strong foundation, a strong, firm cornerstone. And if we look at what this says, fear cannot stop me. Notice it's in there several times. Fear cannot stop me. Discouragement. Time passing won't move me or sway me, wavering. One of the other things that it will do is it will keep me from being offended. And I think that is such a great issue for so many believers. It turns their heart away from the Lord just a bit. What we're seeing here is this really establishes a righteousness consciousness. Now, that ought to be real important with all we've talked about righteousness this year in each of us. Philippians 4:7, which we looked at in that study, and remember, the work of righteousness is peace, says this, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. In other words, we just can't comprehend that God made us righteous to be in full right standing with him, and then peace comes with that. Nothing between him and us. That peace shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard our hearts. It will protect our hearts, knowing that we're at peace with the God of this universe, that we've been made righteous. And I want to mention, and I think this comes up again, guard your hearts and your mind. That sequence is important. So important. It can't start in our minds, in our soul, in that part of our being, but it must flow up from our hearts. And with that protection then that we're given, we can withstand all the pressure of the evil one. Now, when I think about pressure, I think about Romans 12:2, which talks about, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This word in the Greek, conform, means to put pressure on, to be molded in the same fashion as. How do we mold plastic? By heating it up. The devil can certainly apply some heat to us, and he can put pressure on us. So it's through heat and pressure that plastic forks and cups and things like that are molded. And that's what the devil is trying to do with you and I, to conform us to this world of which he is God of. But this says with a strong spirit, we can be transformed. And that's not a small transformation. That word metamorpho literally means a transformation that occurs similar to a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, being set free. Oh my. So think about that. Think about Jesus' words with this as pressure comes. Now we're going to look at Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. And in this very first verse, we get a clue. So let's just read it and don't look ahead. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet do not do what I say? Now, do you pick up the answer from that? What he says is important, and doing what he says is important. And that's exactly what verse 48 says. It says, if we do that, we're like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. In other words, it was built strong. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who builds upon a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and it immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Now let's take this verse and tie it in, verse 49, to what we're talking about. What is verse 49 describing? A weak spirit. James 1, 6 and 7 tells us, let us ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And then it says, goes on and says, don't let that man expect that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Proverbs 10:24 says, in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, he was talking to people who weren't making it, who weren't living like they wanted to and walking in all that they needed. If you faint in the day of adversity, in other words, adversity overcomes you because there's no strong spirit. Now let's go back and look at verse 48. What does this describe? I believe it describes a strong spirit. And if we, you know, go on to talk about it, what it's saying here in verse 49 is that torrent burst against the house and could not shake it. Now, I want to make a point here. When we were building this home, all the framing was done. Huge beams, large boards. Everything was put in place and it was firmly established on a solid foundation. But the inspectors came through and they looked at our plans and they made our builder and the framing crew go in and do hurricane strapping on this house. Now you may say, why? Because the plan called for it, because the plan was developed by an architect in Florida. So we had all that strapping put on it. And now, you can't see any of that strapping. But the firm construction with that strapping that you can't see has made this house stronger. Now, I think that's a good analogy for how our spirit man ought to be. We don't see that hidden man of the heart. But yet, when we develop it, when we do it according to the blueprint that God has given us in His Word, it will become strong and strong, grow stronger and stronger. James tells us in the first chapter, verse 2, 3, and 4, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, I know that's everybody's favorite verse. I remember one day when my good friend, Mr. Wally, came by, said, I have a word for you. We were going through some things. It was a tough time for me. And these are the verses that he came with. I did not want to hear it. But what he was doing was giving me God's word, which would strengthen my heart. And it sure needed it in that time. It goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That until, remember that word we looked at just a moment ago? And let endurance have its perfect results. And here's another until of that Psalm 112. I think it was verse 8. that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, what? We've overcome. We've received. We are walking in what God wants us to. Hebrews 10:23 simply says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without going up and down, side to side. Stay steady, for he who promised is faithful. Now that's going right back to his words. His words are ever faithful. James also, in a list of things he talks about, talking about God's wisdom, his words. Listen to this. But the wisdom from God, the wisdom from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. There's you a promise that his words will come to pass. It has an until there, just like we saw in Psalm 112. So can I say this? We ought to get to a point where we can say his word is unwavering, and so am I. That's a me too. His word is unwavering, and I can say that describes me also. The second thing that I want to move to, and it builds on this, and that's the protection of our heart that we talked about, that building a barrier around it. This strong spirit will help us resist temptations. Now, in the English Standard Version, Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, 30th verse, reads this way. How sick is your heart? The people were not doing things right and well. How sick is your heart, declares the Lord, because you did all these things, the deeds of a brazen prostitute. Now, don't let that phrase ruin you. A brazen prostitute, with what he was talking about there, is talking about them not being true to their God. Just like in marriage, a husband and a wife need to be true to each other. So that's what he's talking about. But really, what's the focus of this? A week? A sick heart. Again, a weak or sick heart, who can bear it? And that's, you know, we're going to see how that's similar to that house that collapsed. It had no hurricane strapping on it. And when the winds blew, it didn't have hurricane strapping. It didn't have a foundation, and it just fell apart. The Amplified. And I want you to look at relationships here. How weak and spent with longing and lust is your heart and mind. And again, what's in the heart's gonna flow to the mind, says the Lord God. Now, again, you can't do the mind first and have your heart strong later. It's got to flow in the way the Lord's word says it must. Now, this is an interesting verse, Proverbs 16, verse 20. And a lot of times, I have focused on the last phrase, but I want you to read the first phrase with me and let's stop. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Now, this verse in this last phrase is talking about a strong heart, having a heart that is strong. But I want you to see a strong heart is really the subject of this verse, but look at how does it apply to the first? He who is slow to anger. Do you see how a strong spirit, a strong heart, can help us not fly off the handle? We talked about to not be offended earlier. So that's a benefit as well. And then it says, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. So he's saying with that phrase, spiritual strength in your heart is more important than the physical strength that's required to capture a city. Now, as I'm saying that, I just hear the Lord, no audible voice, obviously, saying to me that this is so important because as we rule with our spirit and if we go capture a city, if we receive something from God and we think we've overcome it, we've worked through the physical and I've got it, we won't be able to keep it, is what I hear him saying, without this strong heart. So a strong heart is much more important as we withstand the enemy than is any physical thing. Now, we talked about 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4 earlier. Let me read that to you again. We ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. And this is the part I want to focus on now. Because your faith is greatly enlarged. In other words, your heart is strong and it's getting stronger. And the love that of each one of you toward another. So it's their heart is growing in faith. Their love is increasing toward others. In fact, it goes on and says, for it grows even greater. So let's don't be satisfied. If we examine and say, and I believe that my heart is strong, it's established, let's don't rest on that. Let's don't be complacent about it. Therefore, it goes and talks about how they persevered and how their spirit was strong, even during those difficult times. So again, a strong spirit will position us to resist and stand against anything that the devil can throw against us. Number three, a strong spirit will help us receive and hold on to what God has promised. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the earth that are causing people to tremble. And when the trembling starts is not when you want to begin developing the strong spirit. Today is. From this day forth, we just ought to be about strengthening our inner man, seeing our faith, our trust, our confidence increase. Hebrews 6:12. In order that we may not grow disinterested, and this is in the Amplified, and become spiritual sluggards. Now notice the spiritual sluggards part there. But we're to be imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ, to whom we're in union, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness, and by practicing patient endurance and waiting, now we inherit the promises. You know, this phrase here is probably a good phrase that describes a strong spirit, a strong heart. A heart that leans on the entire personality of God in us as we're in Christ, with absolute trust, confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness. But we also say we don't just do that. We don't just hear these words and let it build them up. We do what? We act on it too by practicing what those words enable us to do, by practicing endurance. And so we see the link here between a strong spirit, and I'll bring up a past recent study for us, the study of diligence. Not being complacent, slothful, but doing what? Being diligent. And I'm going to tell you, there is a strong, strong tie between a diligent man and having a strong spirit. Everything we received is we receive and hold on to is by grace through faith. And diligence in that strong spirit is important. In Matthew 15, 28th verse, Syrophoenician woman has come to Jesus. Disciples have tried to get her away. And Jesus speaks to her, even makes a slur to her, but she's not moved. Her heart is really steadfast toward Him. And look what He answers her in verse 28. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was cured from that very moment. What did she do? She persevered. She was strong in her spirit. She was relentless in her pursuit of Jesus, in her steadfastness. Now, there's no question that time tries our faith. But this is another area where a strong spirit can really help us. Galatians 6:9, and I want to read it just in the Amplified for time's sake, says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, until and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax or lose our grip on courage and faith. Now that kind of reminds me of what we saw in Hebrews 10:23, where it talked about in the Amplified, holding fast without wavering. That was one phrase in the translation we read, but I want to read you the Amplified here. So let us seize, hold fast, and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and the hope we confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. There is another promise. That sounds to me like a strong spirit. And then finally in this one, 1 John 5:4, the New Living Translation. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. That is what a strong spirit will do for you. Receive every victory that we have. Now, in closing today, I want to do the fourth one. And this ties into what we mentioned in the review that we brought up last week. A strong spirit will help us to look to others and develop a strong spirit in them. Not just for ourselves, but to be that witness. Romans 15, the first two verses, New Living Translation. We who are strong, can I say in spirit, because that's what he's talking about here, must be considerate of others who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right, and look at this last phrase, and build them up in the Lord. Oh my. Now, again, that's what we saw in 2 Thessalonians again. As they were what? They were growing and increasing toward one another in their faith and their love. And the other people were being built up by it. I want to close today with Jesus' words on this matter, because I really sense in this time, we're not just to be inward focused. We've got to have a heart to bring this world in as the time for Jesus' returns draws near. Luke 22:31-32. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Peter has made a profession of who Jesus is, and he says, no, Jesus, this shouldn't be for you, talking about going to the cross. And listen to what Jesus says in New Living. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you to the Father. And remember, plead there is making a legal request. I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith shall not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, he simply says, strengthen your brothers. Saints, we cannot do this. We cannot strengthen them out of our own being. It has to be out of our spirit being that is in union with God, that strong spirit that we have. And so in the coming sessions, we're going to be some studying about what we can do to ascertain where we are concerning a strong spirit and how we build up our spirit man to be strong so that we can have these four things that we talked about evident in our lives today. We love you. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.